back now, we were in many missions conferences, and this one was great. I applaud you, and I thank the Lord for you. It has really stirred my heart. Through the time that we were here on my computer, I have very few pictures, but Jason thinks I ought to pass a few there so that you can look at some of the people there. So we're going to let you just take a quick gander. There are so many, there are hundreds, and there are so many people and baptisms and situations, but this is just a glimpse. If you'll put that on there, guys, and then I'll let her rip here.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide.
Thank you. It's hard to leave your heart so far away and then be here. One thing, see if I can lighten things up here because I'm... Wednesday happened to be the anniversary of 32 years. And I had the blessing to be here and to share the word of God. My daughter and my wife reminded me that I had forgotten. And at my age, I do forget, and a lot of times I forget whatever I want to, anytime I want to. So there, and all of the white heads said, amen, amen, amen. So it's a blessing, brother. There is no other group of men and women and children that deserve the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ but our military.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw the hairs under the bus just like it's happened already three times. That was a wonderful message on prayer. I wouldn't let him get out of town till he shared it with the church. It was great, brother. Prayer is so important, and it was great. And now, well, we're in a mission. Wednesday, the purpose is to build churches. Wednesday, I shared the thought of the command, the Great Commission, to go into all the world. It's not anything new. Before the beginning of time, God the Father knew he was going to send his Son. He would be known as the Lamb of God. It was from the ages past. Then we saw where the Lord selected the Jewish people. This morning I noticed that we have the United States flag, and then we have the Israeli flag. Amen. Nothing more proper than that order. And perhaps that first and then the other. They're God's people. He used them. He called Abraham. He used them to, they were supposed to be a light unto the world. And a little over 2,000 years they did it. Then, of course, they failed. And the Lord decided he needed for a wife. And he established the church. It was to be his bride. We're engaged to be married, if you're a Bible-believing Christian. But the wedding hasn't come yet. And over 2,000 years have passed. And so from the time of Abraham's call. Now, it's amazing that then the commission was repeated again. And this song, everything, it's just hammered me over and over. Here my Lord sent me. And Wednesday, I shared with you that it was that message on a Wednesday night many years ago that our pastor preached a message on exactly that. Here am I, Lord, send me. And I took my wife by the hand and drug her up to an altar just like this. And I said, I want to go. Pastor, I want to go. Now, she already knew this before I did. I don't talk in my sleep, I don't think, but somehow she figured it out. And so we talked about those things, and it's been great. And I was listening to some of the comments of some of these brothers. Looking back, it's actually a piece of cake. The Lord is with you. It's a piece of cake. And, you know, Brother Harris has heard the shots of AK-47s. We heard everything but that. And you will drive right smack in the middle of a riot, and rocks and bricks will fly over your head this way, and there'll be rubber bullets going this way, and all that kind of stuff. You learn to stay. When you hear the drums beating, you learn to stay away from it. You get a call occasionally that from some kind soul that wants to send you to heaven, and little things like that. And looking back, you think, wow. Why would anybody want to do that? If you love the Lord, you're going to do whatever he asks you to do. And I want to encourage you all, even here where you live, the commission, the Great Commission, is given to each and every one of you. Let's pray, and then I'll invite you to begin to look into the scriptures. This is what will make it all fall into place. Father, once again, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. I'm so grateful, Lord, for your salvation, your love, your mercy, your understanding, even your trials, Lord. There's been so many through the years, and looking back, one can only think is, wow, how you worked in our life, and you will work in the life of every Christian in the same way. Everyone has trials, and instead of asking why, Lord, we need to understand what. What can we learn? How can we get better through all this? And it's not going to end till you come. And so we're grateful for the knowledge that you love us, that you care, that you died on the cross. We celebrated that just not too long ago, the anniversary of your death. And wow, what a sacrifice, what love. And then, Lord, we just ask you to steal our hearts that we might just be challenged to the depth of our soul, Lord, to step out and really understand that every single Christian has the obligation to be a missionary in their homes, in their streets where they live, in their cities, and of course to the uttermost part of the world, and we can have a part in that, and that's what we want to focus on today. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to first, let's see, Corinthians chapter 3. And we will look at verse 9, if I can clear up my eyes. This has been very emotional for me, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We're God's farm. We're to produce. That's what that says. We are to produce souls for his glory and for his honor. Now jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just a little further to the right on your Bibles. And go to verse 11. There it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers." The prophets were responsible through the Old Testament, and even some in the New Testament. They begin the process of spreading the word of God and touching hearts and souls for salvation. Then we have the evangelists. The evangelists are those that, what? Carry out the gospel. How do you carry out the gospel? You go out and preach, and then you teach them, and you baptize them, and you form a church. That's what evangelists do. Now, we are called missionaries, but brothers, you too, you're evangelists. Amen. You are evangelists. That's what evangelists do, evangelize by carrying out the Great Commission. And so we look a little further here, and it says, why? Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, his church." Till when? How long are we going to do this? "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Job's not over. That's encouraging. Who knows how long it's going to take? I was raised out in the country, and sometimes you had to hoe the corn or the beans, and you'd look down that row and you'd think, "Good night, where in the world, how in the world am I going to get to the end of that?" You know, it's hot, and you just keep hoeing, and you keep pulling the weeds, and you finally get there, and then you water it. That's where prayer comes in. You water it, and soon the fruit will come, and then you'll be able to satisfy the needs of your body for you. But you can do it. Everybody can do it. Now jump over here to let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Now, the responsibility of the church, every member of a biblical church needs to perk up their ears here. "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, as Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted." We talked about that Wednesday. Work for God requires prayer and fasting. That means you got to get away from the feed bucket, you know what I mean? You minister that way. And then you pray, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereinto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I had that blessed experience along with my wife in a church many years ago to have the men of the church along with the pastor lay their hands on us and send us away, leaving everything behind. And it sounds scary, and it really is. You will have experiences that you think, my goodness, Lord, what did I get into? Him? Are you sure this is where you want me? But then when you look back, you think, oh, my Lord, I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I know we're jumping back and forth here, but I want you to see from the scriptures why we do these things and why we should do these things. Now, we're talking about finances. Now, make this movement, would you, everybody? Go like this and then rub this, okay? In Argentina, when somebody has a tendency to be a little bit stingy, somebody will go and grab your elbow and start rubbing it so that it'll fit in your pocket, you see? And so everybody's exercised their elbow. Thank you. That's great. We're into step one. Paul writes here in verse 6, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, and of course he's defending his ministry and what he needed to do. Let's start in verse 5. It'll catch the context, even the fact of being married and like that. Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Secular job. Now, that doesn't mean a missionary doesn't have to do that. Some countries prohibit it. Sometimes you have the circumstances where you don't have any choice. I had the privilege to sell honey door to door, and I thought, boy, what a pain in the neck that is. Honey's heavy. But then you know what? You get to talk to a lot of people. And there they are. So whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you just do what you have to do, that's all. Whatever you have to do to talk to somebody about the Lord, have you witnessed to every one of your neighbors? You know, back in the day, they handed out newspapers, they throw them out on the yard. They don't do that anymore. You can see everything on one of these little gadgets, and I gave mine to my wife just because I don't want to be tempted for that thing to go off or start buzzing, see? And back in those days, I would tell people, you need to talk to your neighbor. But do this. If you're afraid, you go to their door and slide a tract under the door, okay? Or you go to your newspaper and stick one in there. And if you're sure you want to get their attention, knock on the door. But if you get into a panic, run. It's okay. Run, but at least you have left something. You can go anywhere. Anywhere. We had the privilege of doing deputation on a motorhome. Had boxes of tracts. My burden, brother, was for Catholics. I was raised a Catholic. I mean to hear Catholic. And we crisscrossed the country 3 times. And I had boxes of tracts. Back in those days, I don't know if you can do it now, but you could walk into the Catholic Church and the doors were always open. So in my mind, I thought, sat here so many years just bored to death. And there's a songbook usually. So we'd stick tracts in the songbooks. Hundreds in many churches. We got kindly invited to leave too. We got busted. But that was it. That was it. There's so many things you can do. And one of the other brothers has mentioned, when you're at the grocery store, put them everywhere. Now, you better have a tract in your pocket or in your purse. If you don't, you know, kids today have forgot some gestures that are so important in life. If you don't have tracts in your pocket, easy access, you know what that means? Shame, shame, shame. Habits. That's all. That's what we're supposed to do. These things. Now, I got off track here just a little bit, but let's get back to chapter 9 here. He's talking about, in verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Of course, it's an understood answer, positive. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt it is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that treadeth in hope should partake of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Well, Paul was one of those that decided he's going to get things done one way or the other. But it's biblical. Now, when we started in Argentina, no one had a car, hardly, of the church. They all survived. Some of them sold pastries door to door. It's amazing. One of the brothers had a job in a grocery store, and he was in charge of packing all the cardboard when they bundle it up and sell it. And they would walk to church about, 30 blocks, something like that, him and his wife and their little ones. And he had a baby carriage for one of them, and he didn't have a wheel on one. So he'd give it this job, and he'd get to church. And wind, there was an older lady in the church out in the desert, and she walked a mile and a half or whatever, she was an older woman, to church every day. Every time we had services, she would be there. And For many years, we didn't have a car, so we would take the bus. And the bus is a nice ride of about 2 or 3 hours. And if it wasn't too full in those days, you got to sit. If not, you could stand for 2 hours. So through the years, when somebody would complain and say, "Oh, well, brother, it's awful cold," so you can't tell me about that. Who cares? You're supposed to be in church, so get there any way you can. There are others that have done it, and it's even been harder than it is on us. I was young then. I could walk. It was no problem. And so, it's just a matter of the convictions that only the Word of God can put. But for missionaries, through the years, they ended up all with a car. God began to bless in their life, you see. And so if God, saving those people, bless them where they could advance and be blessed in such an important way, isn't it not because of God? Isn't it not because some missionary or some Christian went and told them that God will take care of you and he will bless you? Now listen, after a while, some of them decided that they needed to work more and be in church less. May I say this? If God is truly blessing you, it should motivate you to serve him more. Amen, right? If you are gaining financially and you're getting away from God, it wasn't God's blessing, it was your own strength that filled your pockets with money. You understand? And so Paul is explaining, because of their ministry, they were blessed. And therefore, they had the obligation to take care of their preachers. Now jump over here to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. I titled this part of this message, "The Willing and the Wise." Verse 1, Exodus chapter 35. Are you willing or are you wise? And you can actually be both. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and he said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should that you should do them. 6 days ye shall work, shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. I mean, he was serious about you being in church, huh? You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. And in verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. Now, I don't know what it takes for us to understand a command. I'll give you an example. My dad was a veteran of World War II. We were five boys. He lost his arm after the war. He was a gunner on a battleship. And after the war, he lost an arm. And out in the country, you have to milk the cows a little bit early, you know, like 6. And the way he taught us to get out of bed is he'd say, boys, it's time to go milk the cows. And he actually hoped that you couldn't hear him so that he could grab you by the foot and toss you out on the floor. You hit your head on a cold floor, and it used to get 30 below in that valley. After that, he just, boys, it's time to get up. Everybody got up. Your knees didn't bend. You just, whoosh, you were up. And see, that was my dad. But this is God speaking. This is the master of the universe. This is he who holds all things together. Everything. Everything, every little bit of whatever exists, he sustains it, says about the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen if he took his hand off of everything? There wouldn't be anything. Everything would explode. Nothing would exist ever again. This is he who commands, okay? Now, it says in verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. I guess that's a giver, huh? If you're taking an offering, let him bring it, an offering unto the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red. And you know, an explanation of all of the treasures that they had. Now, where'd they get them treasures? You remember Egypt. Yep, they were slaves for 400 years. I was a slave to the world for 33 years. I wasted half my life. And they were blessed of the Lord. They took the riches that they had really earned in all of those years, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And I don't know, they had, well, it says here, we're going to read it here in a bit, I guess, if I didn't already. They had a lot of treasure that they had as they left to the promised land. Now, those that were willing to share of that treasure. Now, let me ask you this. When Moses, when they asked about all that was necessary to build the tabernacle, that's what he wanted to do, the first meeting house where God would meet with them. They had to think it through. Pastor's been mentioning, pray about it. Well, where are you going to get the wherewithal to give to missions? Where did they get it? I think probably they sat in their tent and they maybe took a ring, or they took a bracelet, or earrings, or just silver and gold, and they thought, God gave us this. We were slaves. We had nothing. We struggled through life. And not only do we have our freedom escaped from Egypt, and in our case as Christians now escaped from the world. Did you see what God did and all of those plagues that he put upon them, and he spared them? And they were so moved with emotion. And I'm sure that when they were talking about what shall we give, were they looking at the smaller thing or the bigger thing? They may have thought, oh, let's give him this one. It's amazing what God has done. And they had no problem because they were willing. Now in verse 10, and every wise-hearted of you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Well, you have the willing to give, And then you have the wise to do. The Great Commission is carried out by those that are the doers, the wise. They took the message into their heart, and now they are going out. And then, of course, the Lord commanded. And then it talks about all that they made from verse 11 to verse, say, 19. And jump over to verse 19. The cloths of service to do service in the holy place. The holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. Now, it's amazing. Jesus is the purpose for all of this, the churches and other churches. That's where he's glorified. And verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom the Spirit made willing. Again, we have the giver. Sadly, that everyone that doesn't have the 100% participation, that's the way it is. There are some that haven't participated before. And you learn those things. When I was growing up in church, Uncle Jasper is the one that took up the offering. He had a basket with a long stick. And he would pass that basket and he'd poke you in the chest with it. And that little by little you learned it meant that you got to put some money in there. And when I ended up in an independent Baptist church and I heard about tithing, I thought it was tithing. And I thought, you mean you want 10% of my money? You know, I thought I was doing really good when I put $5 in the plate at the Catholic Church. And I thought, 10%? You got to be kidding me. And so, you know, like I didn't trust anything. I went and looked up the word tithing everywhere it was, and I thought, okay, Lord, I get it. And then missions giving. Well, missionaries instantly attracted me. It was just right from the beginning a call. So now I got to give to missions, and I thought, okay. Well, you know, we were younger then, didn't have the wherewithal too much, and we thought, okay. We just won't go eat out on Sundays. And I don't remember where we started, but we were in Bible college. And by then, I had been working in a bank for a while and had an insurance company. Things had changed drastically. We didn't have a problem going out to eat. When we got to Bible college, it was a different story. I'd left everything behind. I witnessed to all my clients, and they dropped me, most of them. I thought, good night, Lord, what's happening? What am I going to do now? And two occasions, I ended up with a job selling mobile homes. And one Sunday, and I'm sure it was $15, we were given $15 a week or something like that for missions. I mean, the Lord really talked to us. And I'm talking to you, I mean, this is a while back. Huh? I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but it's been a while. And we discussed it in church. We thought, well, $15, but we don't have anything. How are we going to feed the kids their lunch when they go to school tomorrow? And so we didn't do it. We talked about it in the afternoon, and that evening we decided, let's just do it. We'll figure it out. I walked in Monday morning to work, and the boss there, he handed me $15. And I said, what's that for? And he said, well, I forgot to tell you, somebody bought some of the tires that you didn't sell, and you get a cut on them. Oh, I thought, $15. I called Shelley. She was crying. I was crying. You wouldn't believe what the Lord did. It was, I thought, oh, my. I was beginning to learn. That happened several months later, and $15 again, same old story. When I walked into work that Monday, I followed that man around. You know, I thought, hey, $15, nothing happened. I called Shelley and she says, well, okay, what happened? I said, nothing. So what are we going to do now? I said, I don't know. Well, we were sitting at home and here comes a knock on the door. Mike Duggar, about this long, about this wide. He never filled up, he just got tired of eating. And when he knocked on the door, he had couple of bags of groceries, and he said, this woman bought more stuff than we could use, didn't have any place to put it, thought maybe you could use it. And I said, Yeah, come on in. We didn't open the refrigerator. He had no idea that we really needed it. And from then on, I thought, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. You will not starve. If you miss a few meals, it probably won't hurt you anyway. And so understand this. These people gave out of gratitude, and every test that he put upon them, they were able to pass it. So will you, and so will I. Now jump over to verse, 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, still the giver. And in verse 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen, and all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. The women were set special also. Boy, how necessary is a missionary wife. They probably don't get prayed for enough. You know, us guys, we can handle things pretty easy. And women, they just have to sit there. Now, I'll tell you how important a wife is. Sitting at a table counseling someone, have a tendency to just to get carried away. Well, you know, she'd kick me under the table. Calm down, you know. And so they're so helpful. But they're so helpful in many ways. They do a lot of counseling. The women come to them. There are things that, there are things they won't come to me about, but they sure go to Shelley and would say, hey, you know, maybe he doesn't need to preach about that. That's one thing she always said is, I'm not going to tell him what to preach. He won't listen anyway. And so, you know, thank God for missionary wives. Pastor's wives. Boy, they have a load. And they're the unsung servants. That's really the case. And thank God for godly women. And, you know, there's so many stories that I could tell you about how she intervened. In fact, I'm going to take the time. What time is it? Forget the clock. We'll get here. You're done here in just a second. We had a Bible study. We had a lot of Bible studies scattered here and there during the week, and we were in a town about an hour away, and Anna is a daughter of a woman that had seven children. She was the daughter of a prostitute, and that woman had been in a deep depression years before for two years, and those little kids, they scrambled around in town, and people fed them, and it was really hard. And Anna got saved, and she was concerned about her mother. And she said, Pastor, would you go see my mother? Now we're talking about 4 hours away. I said, yeah, we'll go next week. Her name was Licia. When we got to her house, I said, she invited us in, very gracious. We sat, and I said, well, Licia, what's going on in your life? How are you? And then she began to tell me the whole story. I mean, it was terrible. It was awful. And I sat there and didn't say a word, which is a miracle in itself. And you know what I said to her? And this time Shelley didn't kick me under the table. And I've never done that before nor since. And when she was done, I said, well, Licia, bless your heart. Count all of that, which is terrible. I can't even imagine. As one of the best feasts of your life compared to what's waiting for you. And her eyes got about this big, and there was a Pentecostal lady at her side. I mean, she was glaring at me. And I read her verses about hell. And I said, the worst that can happen to a person in this life, we deserve. And hell is what we deserve. But God can forgive you. So I presented the gospel. It didn't take but about 10 minutes. We didn't stay very long. And I said, Licia, this is all I can say to you. You think about this. And if you would like me to come back, I will be happy to. Well, we had about a four-hour drive, and halfway down the road, I get a call. That's first one of them gadgets I ever owned in my life, a cell phone. But I couldn't hear her real well. So I said, Alicia, when I get home, I'll call you. When I called her, she said, I have never cried like I cried after you left. I have cried for an hour. And I thought, oh, man, I really did it now. And you know what she told me? She said, I locked myself in my bedroom, and I got on my knees, and it dawned on me how wicked I have been, how much I hurt God for so many years of my life. She said, I prayed and asked God to forgive me, and I have never felt, like the brother mentioned, a weight off of me that I've been carrying for all these years. She still serves the Lord, and it's been many years. Why? Because some were willing, and God makes us dummies wise in some things. You know, we are able to be used of God. He can use anybody. He can use anybody. And so, you see, it's amazing. And verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, the Lord's work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And in verse 31, and then he talked about someone else here, and he about somebody to design some special things for the service of the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And he hath filled him, talking about this man, Bezalel, with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. The Holy Spirit is the key. And I've already mentioned this before in a message I preached some time back in the Lord's Prayer, you know. That little short little verse that says about give us this daily bread, we think he's talking about food. You're always thinking about food, especially this week. I haven't done anything but eat. And if you look a little further to verse 13, you will clearly see that it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not your food, what we've all been talking about. Our daily bread, what sustains us, is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what he put on those people. That's what he will put on each and every one of you. And then we can either be willing, or we can be wise, or we can be both. And this work, I mean, there's ladies here. I've been watching some of these ladies. My goodness, they're just busier than beavers, just everywhere. Praise the Lord for the women. And I'm telling you, they're the unsung heroes. Now jump over to chapter 36. And let's just read a little bit about verse 1 there, about this man Bezalel. And it talks about the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work. Well, he's given us his word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And he did all that the Lord commanded. But here's the interesting thing. And in verse 3, and they received of Moses all the offering. The doer and the giver, which the children of Israel brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet him free offerings every morning. They kept doing their part. And then, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Isn't that something? But that day hasn't come yet for us. So, stretch that arm again, work that elbow, pray. All of that works better on your knees, by the way. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Isn't that amazing? Well, one day we're going to be restrained from doing all this, giving and doing. You know when? When the trumpet sounds. Man. And it's amazing. I was thinking again, the time periods were broken down in periods of 2,000 years. You know how many years we've been here from the start of the church? A little over 2,000 years. I don't know that there's much time left. So, do. Give. The Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. And this brother and this his family will go and they will do a work that, oh my, it's so necessary. These men and these women in the military, they're special. They need this. Pastor, can I interrupt one a little bit? Jason, would you hand me Shelley's Bible? That's a final thought. Many years ago, I heard this poem, and she wrote it in her Bible. Others, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might learn to live like thee. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Let's go ahead. Let's bow before the Lord and be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. And Vicky's going to begin to start playing the piano for us. I'm grateful for that message today. And that question is, are we willing? Are we willing-hearted? And we heard if we are willing, we'll be wise. But I ask that question to you, and I ask that question to myself. Are we willing for the Lord to do in our lives whatever he may choose to do? Maybe he's laid it on your heart today, maybe a young person or middle age or older, to go to a mission field. Maybe God's beginning to stir your heart that direction. And you don't have all of the, you know, all of the blanks filled in right now. And all the dots aren't connected. But you know God's working in your heart. Then let me encourage you to respond to him and say, Lord, I know you're doing something in my heart. I don't know where, I don't know when, but I want to respond to it and I want to follow you. Maybe if God's doing that, this is a good time to come up to the altar and talk to the Lord about it. Maybe the Lord is stirring your heart to be willing to do whatever it is that you need to do. Maybe it's to just be praying, like that one woman who said, I'm just going to pray for missionaries. I'm going to choose to pray for missionaries. And I know the Lord's laid it on my heart to do that. Maybe that's what God is doing here this afternoon now in your heart. Then let me encourage you, do respond to the Lord. And maybe the Lord is stirring your heart to be willing to give, to become a part of Faith Promise. You say, well, I don't have very much. Well, you'll quickly realize that if you take a step of faith, God sees that, and he'll honor that. We heard Brother Martinez talk about that. You think, oh, I can't afford to give. Well, you know what? None of us can really afford not to give. We just need to be willing to give of our time. But he's wanting us to give some finances here that we can go and help missionaries to go and take the gospel across the other side of the world. So maybe God is stirring your heart to be willing to do that. So may we simply just trust the Lord here and respond to him. In just a moment, we'll sing this hymn of invitation. Maybe you're here today without Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Well, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Bible says Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners and we need forgiveness. Christ lived a perfect life and went to a cross on our behalf and was buried and rose again. And the Lord Jesus will forgive us of our sins. The Bible says if we'll call upon him, he'll give to us everlasting life. So maybe you're here today without Christ. I want to encourage you to come and we'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. Father, we thank you for what we've heard this morning. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Help us to be willing. Help us to be yielded to you. Help us to turn our lives over unto you and lead us whatever direction you'd want us to go. And probably for the most of us, it's just simply be willing to maybe be a part of this faith promise, to be able to help and help maybe be able to, for Cornerstone Baptist to support more missionaries, to be able to certainly support the missionaries that are already that we're already supporting now, but we'll be able to continue to do that, but be able to add more to that as well. Would you work upon our hearts? Maybe you're working on the heart of somebody to go to a mission field. We pray, Lord, that we would respond in a right manner today. And if there's somebody here without Christ, would you work in their hearts? Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's take a hymn book. Let's all stand. We're going to go ahead and have a hymn of invitation. Would you respond to the Lord as he would have?